Lori Williams is Associate Professor of Political Science at Mount Royal University. She joined Stephen Brunt and myself on the Jeff Blair Show. Lori, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today. I know it must have been a bit of a chaotic night last night.
It's been an interesting campaign and a very interesting election night for sure.
The first thing I've got to ask you, how the hell do you have polls, not you, but how the hell do you get a poll that shows one guy winning by 15% and then another guy winning by 15%?
Well, the polls had inaccuracies in them, and some of them were fairly obvious. One of the pollsters that was putting Nenshi fairly high in terms of being ahead had sampling problems with the demographic that where Nenshi is most popular. So because the sample size in the whatever 18 to 34 range was probably a little too small, it looked like he was ahead amongst that demographic, and that just didn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't weighted properly. Some of those polls had the order of the questions kind of skewed the results, and then the Forum Research Canada Elections poll, you know, methodologically quite accurate, but it only asked two questions and didn't ask how likely people were to vote, so it made it difficult to predict. So some polls, that Forum Research poll put Nenshi double digits ahead. The Main Street and another survey put him ahead, and the Main Street ones were consistently putting him behind and Smith well ahead. And it just came down to the public polls were not methodologically rigorous enough to give an accurate picture. You could tell, though, by watching Smith and Nenshi that their internal polling was telling them that it was closer. They really fought this right down to the last minute.
Was there any way the flames inserting themselves in this election, turning the arena into an election issue, you know, Ken King kind of breaking off negotiations during the campaign, essentially, and saying we can't cut a deal with this mayor. Again, it would appear that people have spoken here on that mm-hmm. front, but that's I'm not sure we've certainly seen lots of professional sports teams lobby for public funding. I'm not sure we've seen one insert itself as directly into an election campaign as this one. Can you remember anything like this?
No, and of course you'd be more aware of that because it's what you pay attention to all the time, but I have never seen anything like this before. And it looks like Ken King and Company are hoping for an Edmonton-like deal. But they don't seem to be aware that deal was struck in much better economic times than we're currently in. And it dealt with an area of the city in Edmonton that really needed revitalization in a way that we just don't see the same either potential or need in Calgary. Not to say that we can't benefit from this sort of thing, but the question becomes at what price. So this attempt to undermine Nahed Nenshi during the election campaign didn't work because Nenshi's immediate response was to release to the public the offer that all of council had supported in the negotiations. And it's interesting to note that 11 of those 15 councillors that voted for that original deal have been reelected, and the new ones that are coming on are unlikely to swing the vote in another direction. So it's not to say that that's the only offer that can be had, but I think King very significantly overplayed his hand, and I think it's come back to bite him.
You know, Lori, I found this interesting because, I mean, I lived in Calgary for 2 years. Now, this is a long time ago, right during the Olympics. During the Olympics and after the Olympics. I think a lot of us in Eastern Canada, you know, we look at Calgary as, hey, they're the right-wing, hard-driven oilmen and et cetera, and boy, oh boy, it's kind of the Wild West. And yet, doing some reading and following the election a bit, there is a sort of, I'm going to call it progressive, to use that word. There seems to be kind of a progressive, almost a progressive core to that community, Calgary. How did that develop?
Well, I think there's always been a lot more diversity in Calgary than the image goes. I mean, I joke with my students, you need to wear sunscreen in Alberta because you might get a redneck otherwise. It's
mm-hmm.
it's to us a joke. And it's not to say that there aren't very conservative people in Calgary and in other places in Alberta, but what didn't ever seem to be making the news was that we're a lot more diverse than that. And so this great surprise in 2010 when Toronto got Rob Ford and Calgary got Nahed Nenshi, a lot of us here were sort of gratified that diversity or that the subtlety of the nuances, the richness of Calgary was now something that was more publicly known. Now, it's not to say, as I say, that there aren't conservatives or rednecks or even worse in Calgary or in Alberta, but I don't think most of us experience that as the the primary thing. We, most of us know people that are moderately conservative or centrist or, you know, even leaning to the left, but there aren't, you know, the radicals are the outliers, and mm-hmm. and there's a lot more conversation and agreement going on than polarization, in my view.
Lori, was there any polling that kind of gave us an idea of where the arena issue ranked amongst the concerns of Calgary voters? Was it, clearly I would think it probably wasn't foremost, but where did it kind of rank? What's your sense of that?
It didn't seem to be a front and center issue on its own, but it was part of that bigger issue of taxes and wise expenditure of tax dollars. So I think it kind of got a little bit lost. I mean, there was a chance that it could have become an election issue, but it just got put into the background because it was already part of that bigger issue, particularly property taxes. People who have, especially businesses in some areas that have had double, triple increases in property taxes, not just because of council decisions, but because their property values went up. And that whole debate around taxes and wise expenditure of tax dollars, just the economy generally, and the functioning council, those tended to be the big decisions. In the arena issue was involved both in the functioning of council issue, in a positive way for Mayor Nenshi and for some members of council, and in a negative way when it came to, a mix of positive and negative when it came to the expenditure, wise expenditure of tax dollars. So Bill Smith was saying that he was going to do more with less, but he didn't say where he was going to invest money, where he was going to cut. And I actually think if he provided a few more specifics, he might have done a little bit better than even he did in this election, because eventually people stopped looking at why they were maybe mad at the existing council or mayor. And from the polling, from the actual results of the election, lots of people on council had lots of anger directed at them. People that sailed to victory in 2013 got less than 50% of the vote in their ridings. If it weren't for the fact that there were so many other candidates running, they might not have won at all. So I think Bill Smith, had he been a bit more specific, might have been able to do even better than he did. But part of the problem was that he wasn't specific. He sort of seemed to think that a deal could be made on the arena, and as we've seen, the Flames organization is supportive of him. I understand if you went down to Stampede Grounds, there weren't any Nenshi signs. They were all Smith. Mm. And then we've got their communications director tweeting that Trump Nenshi is worse than Trump or as bad as Trump, and then the vice president of sports property sales and marketing, Gordon Norrie, publicly endorsing him.
It sets the stage for an interesting negotiation. Again, presuming the Flames don't actually take their ball and go home or to Houston or to Seattle, because presuming that at some point this discussion is going to have to resume about an arena.
Yeah,
Nenshi has a clear mandate. It kind of changes the dynamic of that negotiation, doesn't it?
It does change the dynamic. It's going to make it, I think, tricky to get started again. I think maybe taking a breather is a good idea, because going to the table with people that have said this sort of thing and are publicly acknowledged as having done so. So we've got three members of the Flames organization, Ken King and these other two that have been involved in the Twitter stuff today, taking a position against the mayor. Now, I know he's capable of taking the high road and negotiating, and you know, there's possibility that the Flames will get a better deal than what was offered or one that's more palatable to them. But again, I don't, for all kinds of reasons, both this election and just the economic conditions in Calgary, the fact that management of tax dollars is front and center. People on the right side of the spectrum are saying it's a bad idea, that, you know, it doesn't generate the benefits for the community that some people claim. Because of all that controversy, I think that that the Flames folks can certainly enter into a negotiation. They can push for something that works better, maybe a more nuanced sort of deal. But it looked to me like King was holding out for an Edmonton-like arena deal, and the conditions just aren't there for that to happen. So they're going to have to moderate their expectations, but there's going to have to be some give on the council side as well, and Nenshi's side as well.